I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 483. If you're just hearing about PAX East, your wait time in line is 1 year.
All right, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are at PAX East 2016 for our annual roundtable conversation.
At the rectangle table.
At the rectangle table. And we are joined by some of our more favorite people.
They're my favorite people.
To talk fun and games, starting with our friend Chris.
Hello, I'm Sir Regan. This is a podcast. Brought to you by Spawn.com and you know, PAX East again.
But Chris isn't the only person joining us.
Nope.
Also, I think the handsomest man in games journalism
like
today.
The George Clooney of the game.
There's also an argument for Justin Timberlake.
I'm not sure who's making that argument, but I go with the George Clooney, yeah. Robert the DC Warhol.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
We're great.
Just for nostalgia's sake, there's nothing wrong with pooping a boot. That's how we called it a couple of years ago. For some strange reason, Marsha brought up in a boot. Marsha brings her regards. She's actually had to work this show.
Yes. We were hoping that we'd be able to have her on. But that's okay. That's okay. We've got a good table.
I'm just sitting here like, not handsome.
Harsh.
Come on, Evan. Maybe one day.
Oh, meanie pants. You're about to get banished in the corner.
You know what? Well, you kicked me the other side of the table. I was like, I'm going to sit next to Rochelle.
But
you're
anyway.
Like, no.
You took it out on
that's
TV.
What you get for kicking me across the room.
Oh, damn. Oh, Evan gets hurt? Okay. Yeah, I know. Well, then.
If I knew I was
can't
be
hurt
a
you
bag.
Because you could punch me. Evan's
truth.
Like, yeah.
Truth. I could. And last,
but certainly not least,
our homeboy, Evan Borjo, KBD from B3. How you doing, Evan?
I am doing good. My voice is a little bit shot, but it's not as shot as I thought it was going to be with all the screaming and yelling and cheering that I've been doing all throughout this convention.
Well, you know, here's the thing. That's a good thing because it typically means that you're excited. And as such, you should be. Because I think this was a really good show this year.
I
had a good time.
I often have a good time. I hate the money I spend on hot dogs. I'm totally
really?
Yes.
Already
I'm
on having, hot dogs.
I'm buying you a violin when I get home.
So I took a picture because every time I come here, it seems like they bump up these hot dogs by like a buck or like 50 cents. And I spent $7 on a hot dog. I could buy 10 hot dogs for like $6 at like a Whole Foods. And they're organic. It's ridiculous. I'm so mad.
But I ate it because you were hungry.
See, yeah, but you have to understand. The thing I learned about this show is that I would never pay for a cab in town again when an Uber is like $5. Or if you get one of those nice little, you know, Uber Watch cars that were freaking everywhere. Those things are
here. Except for the ones that were like hitting other cars.
I know.
Well, that's, and kudos, by the way, to Randy Pitchford for stepping in and helping out. Randy's the man. That he was really great with that. But no, I mean, I took a cab from, like, what was it, downtown here, and they were like, they went the completely wrong way to, like, Cambridge. And I ended up paying, like, $25. I was like, I'm not taking a cab again.
Yeah, no.
But that's a cab thing. That's just a Boston thing.
Yeah. I don't even know that that's a Boston thing. That's just
it's
an ass.
Bullshit
that's
thing.
That's
is what it is.
But I have to say that it's been a very interesting show for me. You know, I thought that there were some really creative marketing things that various companies were doing this year, like the Uber Watch thing that Overwatch was doing with the branded Uber cars off the characters.
And the monster truck.
Yeah, that was
truck
that
wasn't
was really
crashed.
An interesting thing. You know, even with the accident that happened, it was an interesting idea. Definitely something different.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much an accident as it was the Overwatch Uber eating another car.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's what you get, man. It's about competition. It's like,
this was right up your alley.
Sunday!
Buy your seats now, but you only need the edge!
Seriously,
I mean,
that's what it was like.
Yeah, Ludacris did say, move, bitch, get out the way, for a reason. But I thought that was an interesting take. You know, there definitely seemed to be more experiences going on than just swag giveaways, which was very, very very interesting to me. So I'm losing my thought here because we're being joined by someone who hasn't been with us for quite some time. But we're so happy.
Whoops. Sorry. How you doing, baby?
Hello.
We are thrilled beyond.
My stalker is here, everybody. My stalker.
I have a stalker.
She followed me to the restaurant. She followed me everywhere.
Deb Eadie with us from Game,
Game Hounds. Good to see you. I'm sorry I am late. I had to get past the line of Gestapo agents and jackbooted thugs with their German shepherds. And the drug dogs.
Welcome to Home Front the Revolution.
We got kissed by the drug dogs.
Yeah, you're so cute.
You know what? Yeah, I can see it.
They're very sweet.
Are you sure it was a kiss or a hit?
No, it was totally a kiss. So I opened up my bag, and the cute little Labradors that they have sniffing bags to make sure you're not bringing, like, in bombs or whatever.
We don't have any more bomb-sniffing poodles. They just don't have bomb-sniffing poodles.
If I say sex ba-bomb, is that better?
Yes.
Sex ba-bomb.
No, yeah.
Well, right, it's the extra B that makes all the difference.
I think using the D word in conjunction with it.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
So
that's why we're not sending this out.
This
live.
Is why. Pat,
I'm trying to think. What are you talking about? Like disco? What's the D word?
I thought dick.
Oh.
I thought dick bomb. Like the bomb of dick.
It's a risque ball.
We'll talk Doom, about it later. Obviously, sponsored Doom. By Bethesda.
We'll talk about it later. I am not very smart at this hour in the morning.
And she's sitting next to me, so she's like thinking about me. And
yeah, I know. I know. I'm actually
she's obsessive now.
Quite hungover.
She's got marketing things.
Okay,
so I like the Uberwatch thing. I thought that was really interesting. I also thought that a lot more of the indie games had bigger presences here this year.
We've been talking about that.
We Happy Few had a really
their booth is awesome.
And it's fantastic. And I was so glad to see that because they were one of my favorite experiences.
They had like a hole in the wall
last year. Yeah, last year was a small booth. This year they had a much bigger booth.
And
the game is getting really good.
The game is really good, and it was so exciting for me to see so many people flocking to it and checking it out after Friday. So I'm really, really happy for them because it really was a great experience that we had last year.
Yeah.
But to see them have a bigger space, you know, to see Tiny Build back here and with a bigger space and more
Tiny
to show
Build.
Off this year.
Tiny Build has become quite the beast in the gaming industry.
Oh, yeah. Speedrunners. Oh, yeah. I went to the Speedrunners party. That is an avid community there.
Right. Just, party Hard really nice is so good.
So good. I'm so
coming
psychotic.
Up with ingenious ways to just get their message out and share it forward. You know, there was less pre-order my game and get my t-shirt and more. We'll come in and do an experience here in my booth and we'll give you something. And I think that that's much more rewarding for
Absolutely.
The people that come
granted,
to the
there
show.
There were still some that were doing that. Like Square Enix did that. If you could complete the Sephiroth challenge, which I
right,
tried,
but that's
I tried
complete
twice.
A challenge, not buy the game.
True.
Right.
But I'm just saying, they did still have set up things for that.
I think
couldn't
that's good. Like,
him.
Get a reward for
he
doing something.
So.
Yeah, you
just
know.
Walk by and snag a thing.
But I'll tell you what, there's also nothing wrong with being a friendly face. And let me tell you about a guy who's here. His name is Alex Verry. He used to be with Mad Catz and everything like that.
Yeah.
Now he's doing something here with Lucid Sound. And he is... he's a big dude. He's bigger than I am, but he's like one of the happiest dudes. Oh, come here, everything. You know, he is one of the coolest guys. And that Lucid Sound headset is actually really cool if you haven't seen it yet.
So I actually went over to Lucid Sound because I know Alex from way, way back
in the day.
Yeah,
me too, back in the day.
And whenever I get a chance to hug cheeky Alex, I do. As I like to call him. And so I went over to Lucid Sound after I saw you talk about them because, as you guys know, I am very much into headsets.
You're an audio sound.
I am an audiophile.
Yep.
I'm trying to be in recovery. But the Lucid headset is really, really, really vibrant. But what I like most about it is it's light.
Yeah.
It is the lightest
wireless. Yeah, most of those headsets are like 50 pounds or something like that, like way on your ears. But it was so comfortable.
Well, typically with a wireless headset, because there's transceivers in the ears, that's what makes it so heavy.
Right.
And they pinch, so you can't really wear them for a long time. Mm. The Lucid headset I could absolutely see wearing for multiple hours, no problem. It's super light. It's super adjustable. I had a really great experience with it. So if you haven't heard about Lucid Sound, you should definitely check them out. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, again, having a mic that's detachable makes it a headset that's really something for anybody because you mold it wherever you like.
It's got more viability.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's lucidsound.com or you can follow me on Twitter at lucidsoundaudio. I think they might start arranging some giveaways, so they're definitely worth following there, kids. And I got everybody's attention.
Yeah. Restock.
But I'm just saying, like, people like that on the floor, like Luke Crate. Luke Crate has one of the coolest crews out there, too. They're taking care of everybody on the show floor, and they got, like, Rocket League competitive on their front. I mean, it's just so great to see people. I mean, there are a couple people I ran into that were, like, diva-like. I won't get into that. But, like, a lot of people here.
Oh, please do. No, let's do. No, let's do.
I don't want to. If you want, but not me. But I'm just saying, okay. But I'm just saying.
There's a lot of people here that are very down to earth. And Luke Crate is a very good
example.
They're
happy to be here because they're like, not Tex again.
They're happy to assist you in everything.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you want to do a boxing video? Give me your card. We'll be in contact with you.
Yeah, exactly. And then they actually get in contact with you instead of just throwing it to the wayside. I mean, it's just one of those shows where everything almost seems to come to get together just right. You know, I mean,
I actually prefer the venue here than the place.
Yeah, it's less cramped. I mean, they opened up the floor. They got rid of the queue line, and they opened up the floor out a lot more, which is really something.
But I think that was part of their green initiative. They wanted to utilize all the space.
Which is a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love the fact that, like, the handheld, like, beanbag area wasn't in the corner where no one knew it existed. It's, like, out in front, and you could just lay around like a sloth all day if you wanted to.
Because you get diseases with these beanbags.
I
tell people when I saw a friend of mine, this is like, yeah.
You make it sound like they, like, just whip their junk out and rub it all over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This beanbag is so comfy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a question that I will never be able to get out of my head.
Exactly.
You've got all the nerves together.
See, now you're
just
going to rub it butt in.
You know, it's like those phrases, you know, the snowball, the dirty Sanchez, the pack, the pack's beanbag.
I thought you were talking about how excited they were.
Wow. It's a new snack. The pack's beanbag. Oh, yeah.
It was a beanbag. The beanbag was so disgusting, it became sentient.
You know, if it's not that.
Oh, my gosh.
If it's not that, it's the developers that are.
Psycho beanbags.
Yeah, if it's not the beanbags, it's probably going to be the virtual reality headsets that they don't wipe down after.
Oh, no. I did see them wiping them down
some,
after ever.
Yeah. Some.
Yeah.
But there are some that didn't.
No, I've heard that there is a pink eye issue going on this year.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. With
probably
the
from the beanbags because you're rubbing your face in it.
Right. You probably got it from the beanbags.
Yeah, I got it from the beanbags.
I mean, it probably was from the beanbag and just translated it to beanbag STDs.
All I can see now is Evan just rubbing himself in the beanbag.
I know. That's
the beanbag, not on the show right now.
I'm helping.
Over to you.
Oh, the beanbag is everywhere.
Beanbags aside.
Yeah, those aside, as you bring up VR, you know, there's a lot of VR at the show this year.
There's actually, I would say that the last year, the buzzword was VR.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the buzzword is procedurally generated and MOBA.
Yeah,
that's what this year's about. If we're gonna have a theme.
If you want to talk about VR, that's GDC. That was last month.
GDC.
Wall to wall.
Yeah, we didn't go.
You
to
didn't
GDC
go. I know. I'm sorry. Some
I know,
of us.
And
some
I should have. I should have. I should have gone. I mean,
wasn't
right
rubbing it
back.
In. I wish you had. But no, she's right. I mean, there's
some of us
like,
got real good grown-up jobs, and we can't afford to just do stuff.
Some of us
what?
Don't
I
have,
don't have
wait,
a grown-up
job? Hold up. Some of us don't have good grown-up jobs, and but still couldn't go because we're broke as hell.
You know,
so,
don't worry about it. You didn't miss much. Like I said.
We just missed VR. That's what we missed.
It's just wall-to-wall VR and me throwing up.
That's what
or falling down.
Here, I was expecting way more VR than that to use.
Yeah. Well, I think
I agree.
By doing more VR, I think it would have been more lines. That's the thing, cool. I think. You know, but obviously the thing with the big exposure here was PlayStation VR. They brought their demos again.
Yeah.
Right. PlayStation VR is impressive. The thing I'm concerned about, like I said, is having to buy new hardware to really go with it, because they're talking about that 4.5.
I really hope that they just say, you know what? If you don't have the 4.5, just drop it $25 for a little tiny little bit of an upgrade.
Yeah.
Right.
You
help
need,
it run.
No,
right.
You
plug it in, like a 32X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like VR is a camera and PlayStation Move controllers. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
And over and above the PlayStation 4 itself.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Because
so
technically.
Because it's not a PC, it's a PS4.
Right, and most of the hardware, most of the chip and the power.
PlayStation 4 is already optimized to do 4K gaming.
Right.
It is already.
technically.
They just want to have the hardware try to keep up with it in terms of the speed and everything. Right. So anyway, we're off topic again. This is supposed to be a PAX show. Right.
Sorry. Hey, this is...
Yeah, PAX, so shows, PAX VR, shows always stay on topic.
The places that they always do it right at PlayStation VR because you can schedule appointments in their app and then you're set, which is
but
the best
still,
way to go.
Yeah. I like to have more structure, so...
No, why have structure? That just doesn't
so
do
I
want to
pose a question.
Okay.
So we,
pose a question.
We've been on the floor, we've been at panels, we've been at tabletop. What has been the thing that you walk away going, this is the thing I want to share with somebody else? Like, what is... What do you want to share? What is that thing?
First.
Okay, so the thing that that made me run back up here into the media room to quickly write an article about it was a tiny build, and it's a game called Stage Presence. It's a VR game, and the premise of this game is you're in a band, you're playing a show, and all of a sudden, everything shuts down. There's technical difficulties, and the only thing that's working is your microphone. So you have to keep entertaining the crowd while they're fixing
your stuff.
Fixing
with
your
gestures
stuff.
And everything like that. And objects picked up in the game. Wow.
Well, for the most part, right now, it's just you and a microphone. So you got to be like, oh, yeah, come on. We got technical difficulties right now. I want to see people on the left dancing. I want to see people on the right taking
on the
booties.
Fire.
I want the girls on the left to take their tops off. I want the girls on the right to start making out with the girls with tops off. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
right.
Evan's getting all the stares in the world right now.
All of a sudden, women are taking off their tops. I don't understand this.
But what is so awesome about this game is the immersion, and the crowd's just going wild and crazy, and it feels like that you are a true rock god on stage.
Now, is
this
a
motion-based
game?
Well, as it is right now, the only motion is, you know, turning your head left and right just to make sure that everything's okay in the back, and evading shit that's gonna be thrown at you at the audience if they don't like what you're doing on stage.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So if if you're starting to bomb on stage, they'll start throwing bottles at you, so you gotta be like going like this, everything like that. It is so cool.
Mother of God, it's a Vince Neil simulator.
Give me the name of that game again.
It's called Stage Presence. It's Stage down Presence. At the Tiny Build.
Tiny Build. I'm totally
build.
Going down there.
It is the game that just made me go, oh my God, this is the most fun I've had this entire convention, and I want everybody in the world to play it. It is going to be amazing in parties, and what's more, it's got co-op, so there is going to be like this option where other players can jump in offline or online, and they can be in the audience, and they can be the ones throwing shit at you.
You know what?
Genius.
I was just hoping we'd be band members so I could throw you off stage and make them really care.
And it's also Twitch integrated, so people who are watching you stream the game live can type things in, and then they can make some crazy stuff happen while you're playing.
See this.
It is so cool. And what's more, it's only going to cost between $3 and $5 when
it's
launched.
Actually amazing. That's really good.
Holy buckets. Really?
Honestly,
that
has been like the
best
experience
I'm trying to think of the profit margin on
that. This entire convention.
Oh, no.
The
I mean, they probably didn't, you know, because we're talking about like Tiny Build. They can take something relatively small and really promote it and everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Proper. I mean, like, No Time to Explain probably didn't have a big production budget at all, and yet it was really big.
Look at Party Hard. That just started out as a game jam game, and then it just expanded into this monster that it is today.
Ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. So,
it is.
I'm sure, Evan, if it was like a $20 game, it'd still be worth it.
No, I totally agree.
There's no time to just go and do.
Yeah. As far as the game that I really got blown away by, because I haven't played it before, Lawbreakers. I mean,
really?
Let's talk about this, because, I mean, like, when I first, like, heard about it, you know, Boss Key, Cliff Bleszinski, you know, obviously there's going to be big stuff out of it, but, I mean, I'm really impressed with its structure and everything. It looks like a lot of fun, and the fact that it's going to be set up in a free-to-play format, you know, so...
Can you explain
what
it is? I have no idea what it is.
It's just basically a competitive shooter. But it's really set up with some creative aspect. You just really need to play it. I mean, when you go by the booth, they got people playing it like all the time. You can see everything that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between that and Overwatch, I mean, the friggin' multiplayer market is...
I'm a big fan of Overwatch personally.
Is a lot of fun too. I mean, they're really cool. They're people too.
Yeah.
They can wear glasses. They can wear comics. You know, they got the cars. You know, when they're not eating other cars. but no, I mean, Overwatch, Blizzard's got another hit on its hands. You know,
definitely,
I have a feeling they could be able to add on it with new characters, they'll be able to add on new maps, everything like that, so I'm impressed by that, too. As far as the best indie game, I saw so much, but there was this one called Metronomicon, which is sort of a combination rhythm game RPG. Think Amplitude, but with like medieval characters. You have to keep switching around like to set up attacks and everything like that.
Okay.
And it's actually got a really cool art style.
Where is this?
It's over in the back to, let's see.
It's in the Indie Mega Booth,
yeah,
right?
It's in the Mega. It's over by the Indie Mega Booth.
Sorry, listeners, we're talking about, you know, we're still in the midst of PAX at the moment.
Yeah, I know. We're still back.
We have one day left.
There's still more things to look. Yeah. Still more things to see.
But yeah, I mean, there are so many good games on the floor. That's the thing. You know, you don't really get to see them all and everything, but, you know. But between, like, Lawbreakers, Overwatch, and Metronomicon, those are probably my favorites on the floor thus far. But if I check out Stage Presence, I'm going to be like...
My name is Vince Neil. Dude wants to party.
Trust me, you gotta want to get back in the live.
It's good prep. It's good prep because I actually have a panel this year. This is my first PAX East panel that I'm doing later today. That you all be there for. I love you all. It's just something on Final Product versus Expectation. It's myself, John Holmes, Randy Greenback, Richard Cook. Great staff, great team, rather. And I don't know, Stage Presence will kind of warm me up for that because people are like, get off the stage, workman!
Well, actually, there's another mode, too, where it's not you don't have to just be a singer. You can actually be a stand-up comic as well in Stage Presence. And you have to, you know, deal with the hecklers that try to boo you off stage.
No, your mother!
So this is about... about games that, you know,
basically,
yes. To a point and then they come out like...
So no, it's talking about, like, everything goes into, like, the panel's pretty much a focus on, like, expectation of what goes with the launching a game and everything like that. We're probably going to talk about Kickstarter. There are different topics that we cover. I went to one of those at PAX South that Adam Sessler was on, and it's a pretty good panel, so I have a good expectation of what it's about. It's just going to be interesting how our conversation goes. It's a different team, so...
Yeah.
You got something else?
I was most impressed. It's kind of funny. Technically, it's an indie game, but I don't really consider it an indie game because the definition has now totally changed since there's so many big games coming out of indie.
Because you're going to say that, may have to walk from this table. Please don't say it,
because
I'm going to flip the table to do. It is.
I'll just flip it for you.
I'm staring into your eyes as I say it. It is Shadow Warrior 2.
Yes! I love that.
Me too.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is why we're friends.
My God, that game. My
so
God.
It was
my
monstrously
just Devolver in general, because I also like
Ruiner. Why didn't Ruiner. Know the first one?
See, Ruiner was okay.
I was not a big fan of the first one, but this one is so beautiful.
We're
it's beautiful to play. It's a great
fit.
Right, and it's active, and it's so far as I can tell, it's got
the
pacing. And they built the engine from the ground. It's not even on any other engine. It's their own engine.
It's
beautiful.
Amazing. It is. And I love the weapons.
The weapons
are
great.
So choice.
I love that you can blow a hole through a monster and then shoot the meta monster through said hole behind that meta monster.
And then you get the Wolverine claws.
That you could literally, and the deaths are procedurally generated, and that no way that you slice a monster is going to be the same twice. You could go down to literally cutting off the monster's finger if you hit them the right way. So it is, and then on top of it is as pretty a game as I have seen in a very long time.
And let's
some
just say the booth was awesome too, having
the
cherry blossom tree.
Oh, the fortune
there.
Cookies blossom. That weren't fortunes at all.
Really? They weren't?
They're kind of smarky.
Oh, well, yeah. I hope so. And that's the thing, and on top of it, the humor that I've heard in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny. What's his name? Wang
Wiley
Wang
sort of humor, like a Scott Pilgrim kind of humor.
It is really good.
Right, they've done a really good job taking a game that originally was not appropriate for modern sensibilities. It was, quite honestly, if you look back at the very, very original Shadow Warrior, it is now under our modern sensibilities considered racist and sexist.
Yep.
And they completely said, all right, we're not going to just reboot this. We are going to rewrite this for who we are today, not what gamers were
then.
15 years ago. Yeah.
Yes.
And they did a great job. And the humor is wickedly funny. And it's just, it is a full package. It's the real deal.
I take my going to say about Lawbreakers. Shadow Warrior 2 is not Game of Show.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so far it's the Game of Show.
Honestly, I will have to. You see, Shadow Warrior 2, I will say at this point, feels like a AAA title right now.
It does.
So that is like my AAA title game of PAX East.
Yeah.
And Stage Presence is my indie
an
game.
An indie game.
There you go.
And we have to really start thinking about what a definition of an indie is now. Because with so many big games coming out of Poland that are considered indie games, first off, what are they putting in the water in Poland right now?
I don't know.
Where do I get some?
because not sure, but I really wish that they would import it.
Amazing games coming out of there.
It does also answer the question, how many Polish people does it take to make a great game?
Not very many, apparently. They're doing it better than the United States.
So anyway, you were saying a few years ago, it would have been a joke, but now it's just...
This is interesting, because I've spoken to a lot of other journalists on the show floor and stuff, and they're not... The things you're coming out with is not what I'm getting back from them, and it's something I'm reflecting on them too, is that the game everyone pretty much talking about is Pyre.
I have been trying to put my hands on Pyre. I have heard
their
booth is
packed.
Yeah.
From what I saw, it's beautiful.
Right, that's the only reason why I didn't pick up.
I mean, Supergiant always does an amazing job in their games, and they always add something new with each element.
Let's describe what Pyre is. It's rather surprising, actually. It's a cross between. Is it Oregon Trail? You've basically got a. Where you die of dysentery and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cross between that and rugby.
And rugby.
Football-esque game. The football lesser.
So it's a tactical...
Did I say that out loud?
It has an extraordinary world they built.
Way to go.
It's amazing. And they have these characters and it's, typical Supergiant games. Bit of story background, that kind of thing. Very, very rich, full of character. Not so much narration, a lot of text reading. There's not a lot of
action.
There is some voice, but the core of the game is this weird sports game they come up with. It's not weird. They don't call it a sports game, they call it a ritual, but it confuses me. And there's three characters, and each character has their own skills and abilities. And you have this spear, rather than and it's in the middle of this field, and they're all facing one another. And each side has a pyre, which is a fire, a brazier, if you will, in both ends.
Brazier. A brazier and a brazier are two different things.
Yeah. Although, if your brazier is on fire, you should seek help. Quickly.
Well, no, only if it's on you and on fire. If it's on fire and it's away from you, you're safe.
Stop it. Right, okay, so.
Raw burning, literally taken to a new level.
I mean, if you want to talk about braziers, that's fine. I'll just sit here and just laugh and giggle like a 3-year-old.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, there's two pyres on both ends, and you have to get the ball, the sphere, into the pyre. 12. And you can do this by various different means, and what's quite interesting is that the strategies that involve games like football or rugby can apply to this game too, where you create feints, you create lines, and it's an extraordinary game, but it is fleshed out in a sort of like a mythical sort of realm, but ultimately it is a rugby game. Now, don't let that put you off. It is still very fun, and it's beautifully rendered and wonderfully put together, as you would expect from Supergiant. But the game's not going to be out for another year.
That's why it is for Supergiant. They did the same thing with Transistor. They showed it off long before it came out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I think they're really good about building anticipation for games,
Yes. And keeping the promise as well.
Right, keeping the promise. That's the thing. It's like, I can't tell you how many games I saw going one way and then end up going another, and it's frustrating as shit. But then, Supergiant, they've always been, dependable for their games.
Yeah. So
I think Pyre is going to be a nice little twist on the genre there. It's really going to get people going, even without Burning Bros. It's
right.
Going to be like, giggity.
That's my personal game of the year. PAX East, because it's the first game I played. Every other game has failed in comparison.
You need to go play Stage Presence.
Go play Stage Presence.
I will give you money to play Stage Presence. I just want to watch you play Stage Presence.
And be careful.
Because
you
would be so uncomfortable.
Actually,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't mention Canada.
You get dropped down. There's a level that's called Donald Trump. That's like the lowest of the low. Currently.
If I mention Poland, will I get points?
You might.
Yeah, it's
do you threaten to build a wall across the state?
Say England. You know what? Say England, because it is a British developing team, and odds are those people, that might boost up your thing.
Right.
You know what? Your accent will be perfect.
Play
you
the
like,
home
oh, right.
If Shane Nickelback, you'd probably get killed.
Yeah, it probably just instant, boo. So for me, I think probably my favorite experience at the show so far has been with Headlander from Adult Swim Games.
Oh, Double Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, they're over at Adult Swim. I've been looking for where Headlander is, and I've been...
Adult Swim Games and Double Fine.
I couldn't find it in the Sony booth.
Okay. And so the game is, one, something that I want right now, but primarily it's a future space... adventure.
70s future space.
Yes, a 70s inspired future space situation where humanity is
gone,
basically extinct except for you, and you are a disembodied head. You don't have a body, and so you must take over other robot bodies and that are available to you via sucking off their existing heads.
Giggity.
Womp womp, you said it, not me.
We're tagged explicit, so
we're
fine.
What kind of show is this?
37!
Burning bras, sucking
and
heads.
And landing your head on their body to then continue on through the level. And what's really interesting about the game is that stylistically, it is absolutely gorgeous. It is beautiful to look at.
Yes. Yeah.
It is warm, and they really got the detail of what 70s sci-fi was like. Like, if you could imagine playing Barbarella, feels like. You know, the spacesuit is a bubble head, and it's the right way, styled nicely. The music is absolutely perfect.
The lasers are just flipping cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the lasers.
Just the lighting effect on the lasers, it feels very early Star Wars. It's just right all the way across. But it is also bitingly witty and funny.
Yeah.
There are points where you will encounter the cleaning robots, the Electro Sucks, who are just going about their business. And if you talk to them, they will talk about how much they love cleaning and their duty is to clean and it is their honor. But if you actually take over one of their bodies, you will start talking with them and realize that they do not like the central cleaning unit and they want to overthrow it. So they are working on a revolution internally. And it's just...
Basically.
So it's just so fun to play, and you also have to be very smart because you are using various bodies that have lasers attached to them, and there are different types of lasers that you can use to attack other bodies because you can take damage. The Shepherds, which are robots that have a core of a human essence, but they've kind of forgotten that and they've just gone along with the autonomy, really want to take you out. So the only time you can sneak past them are when you are a lower robot form. Once you take them over, you can use their lasers to ricochet off the environment and take them out on lower levels.
Do you have to do anything before you take them over, or do you just insert your head?
So it depends on the robot. So there are some that are already damaged that they basically do not have a head on them, so you can immediately land on them. There are others that you do have to either use your suction power to literally suck their head off the body. Or you want to use, if you have a body that you've taken over that has a weapon, your laser weapon, and ricochet it off of the area to knock their head off so that you can safely land on the body.
That's hot.
It's so much fun because you walk into an area and you can see where everyone is and you can hold your aim button because this is going to be on PC, Steam, and PS4 this summer. And you can see where your aim shot is going to go, so you can line up the geography before you can really take any...
I just suddenly realized, as you're describing it, I know what this game's based on. About 30 years old, it's called Power Droid.
Power Droid? I never even heard of it.
Mm. Me neither.
Classic. Look it up. Sorry. History repeats itself.
It really does.
Listeners, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But it was a really fun experience, and you know the team at Double Fine really did a fantastic job, and I'm glad that you know Adult Swim Games is working with them to bring out this game. And there's a lot of really great stuff actually at the Adult Swim booth.
Can we just say how amazing Adult Swim Games has grown as like a very, very
again,
great
to your point, like having to redefine indie.
They even brought in Jackie Collins.
like a good friend of mine, yes, PR, and she is a great hire.
She is so cool.
She is, you know. So I mean, like, they are really doing really. There's a couple other good games they have in the show. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna touch on like our favorite like booth or anything like
that.
We
will eventually get there.
Okay.
I'm just gonna say Shadow Warrior 2.
Oh no, I have a different answer.
We can also be Negative Nancy's and our least favorite.
We can. Yeah, we can do all of those things here. But what about you, Panda?
So, I mean, I did a lot more panels this PAX than games. I did each type of subcategory of them. So I went to an informational one, or I went to a funny one, and I realized why I don't like lines. But when I was down on the game floor, I spent some time with Square, and I'm a Square apologist. Like, I understand that they are struggling to find that thing that's going to revitalize them, and they're just going to keep running that Final Fantasy horse into the ground until it's Final Fantasy glue, and it still won't stick. Yeah. And that's really kind of... It's really true, and I mean, they're dangling Kingdom Hearts 3 because they know we're only hanging around for that, because Final Fantasy 13, 1, 2, 5, 7, 8, 12... have struggled. And they're showing a little bit of Final Fantasy 15, which it's gorgeous looking. Absolutely. You want to watch what they're doing in there all day. But there's also this really small game. They only have two little canons of it called I Am Setsuna. And the art direction in that kind of gives me like nostalgia for traditional RPG like Homebound, where, like, you've got your team following you. Like, it's reminiscent of that. But it's also, you know, restyled and retooled in new graphics. So, like, it renders really nice. And it's just sweet and natural. And it's, like, going back to basics, which I strongly feel like Square needs to do if they really want to stay poignant in the RPG category of games. But since no one talked about any horror games, I'm also going to say Outlast 2. Because I was crazy about Outlast 1, and I'm so glad that we're getting a 2. And they're really exploring that pure escapist horror as opposed to, you know, run and gun and I'm superhuman and, you know, I'm just taking on this threat like it's not a big deal. Like, I love being completely powerless and literally having a, you know, camera with, you know, black lights and my pen, and I'm just going to write stuff and pray that nothing wants to rip my face off when they all do. Mm-hmm. And, like, this whole immersion, which we're getting with VR and stuff, is just... It's all overwhelming, I think.
It turns out all in your mind.
It's like you've been sitting in a chair for 8 hours and nothing, none of this has ever happened to you. And then you're like, what? But anyway. But I love to see when genres are taking extreme risks to reinvent themselves. And I've been seeing that a lot in the horror genre with this escapist horror and this, you know, being completely powerless and, you know, not having any control over what's pursuing you and anything like that. So I'm definitely going to have my hands all over that when I can buy it and I can own it and stuff like that.
Let me give you a suggestion then if you haven't found it already. And actually, you, Rochelle, would really like it being an audiophile. There is a game that's right around the corner from Outlast 2 called Through the Woods.
Yes.
Yeah, you were talking about that, KBD.
Actually, I interviewed the guys from Antagonist a few months ago.
Yeah, and that game, if you like Outlast 2, if I'm going to say there's another indie game, like I picked a large indie game, this would be a small indie game. That game is along the same lines of, not horror, but...
maybe suspense?
Yes, suspense. I would say suspense.
Because a lot of it's based off of Norwegian folk and fairy tales.
Right, yeah. And you are in the woods. And
you're trying to find your kid.
Right, exactly. That's right.
The press X to Jason. Oh, I've played that a year.
I would. Let's see. What would you liken it to?
That's actually a good question.
It's kind of its own thing.
It is its own thing.
But that game gets really.
Right. There was a couple of what was the name of that indie developer, and they had a I can't remember, but it was a story. It was essentially an allegory to the Big Bad Wolf. You would probably remember. Was it like Black Swan Games or something? Where it was an allegory for the Big Bad Wolf, but it was kind of in this minimalist artist...
The Wolf Among Us?
Wasn't The Wolf Among Us.
No, that's
no,
Telltale.
No, and it was the little girl. And it was, she was, and there was a guy that was essentially a child predator. And she was in a...
I know which one you're talking about.
I remember, sorry.
It was a GDC like 5 years ago. Anyway, it's a... definitely suspenseful. It's definitely creepy scary. It's meant to... They actually said that the whole point of it is pacing. That we don't want to keep you scared all the time. We want long periods of wondering what's going to happen to you.
That's what's the scariest part.
That's what, because yes. that's what makes the fear. But what I loved about it is that the co-founder is one of the audio guys, and he is the audio designer, and he really designed it to make the sound and the audio a character. That it's not just what you're seeing. It is what you're hearing. And you're hearing things behind you when you've got the headset on that are like, what is that? And you don't know. And the world, I believe, is procedurally generated, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, ding! I'm just going to do that.
Right, exactly. And it's so you don't know what's coming. You can't play that game the same twice.
Oh, I love that. I got tingles.
And it's one of those ones that, that put goose to
this is why I had him on my show a few months ago, because I felt like this was a game that's going to be really, really cool that a lot of people are going to love.
Right.
It's going to be one of those word-of-mouth games. You got to try this. You got to try this.
Right.
So, those are the best kind of games, too.
Yeah.
You take it by surprise.
I would definitely, before you leave...
Okay.
And it's a game that really not a lot of people are playing. So it's not like a big two-hour line. You can put your hands on it in 10 minutes. It's worth it.
Through the woods.
I'll check it out.
We'll definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Well, you'll definitely check it out. I don't really enjoy the horror genre. I don't like
jump scares.
Then don't
play Kitchen.
I don't play Kitchen. Like, I appreciated Until Dawn, but I couldn't play it. Like, jump scares, I don't enjoy the feeling that they give me. I enjoy suspense. Mm-hmm. I enjoy leading me there, letting my imagination figure things out, and keeping me in a place where I'm not sure where things are going. I enjoy suspenseful games, but the straight up jump scare stuff I don't enjoy.
So
I don't mind gore, but
so you prefer something like The Vanishment of Ethan Carter?
Correct.
Which was amazing.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
great game.
That so
yeah.
much. But well, then you'll be happy to know that horror is really shifting towards that audio scale.
I know.
They're really playing with the setting and the sounds leading you to feel that unease. And
right,
it's not
and the
exactly
lack of something happening. Not the running for your life all the time. It's the anticipation that you might be running for your life.
Yeah, so you might like that movie.
Well, speaking of settings and sounds, let's talk about some of the booth experiences. Let's start with some of your favorite experiences so far on the show.
I want to talk
and
about
we'll
why someone's powered by Pizza Hut and they're not sharing fucking pizza. That's what I want to talk about. Fucking Rooster Teeth. And, like, they got pizza coming in, like, 8 boxes, and they can clearly see everyone's following it.
You'll get pizza, hooray, after you play this Ruby demo.
No, not even. Like, I went, and I mean, I enjoyed Ruby.
She was hungry.
And I'm just like, and like pizza comes, and like I see it. It sees me because it has eyes. And I'm just like, so what's that for? Oh, that's for the staff. Oh, so you're not gonna just share pizza? And then we have Totino's with the bucking couch. No Totino's pizza rolls, guys.
That's the real crime here.
Yeah.
Like, let's
are
talk
you
about
serious?
This. Like, you know what? Like in previous years, Hot Pockets was here, and they gave out Hot Pockets. I was fine.
But
with
who
that.
Would want Hot Pockets?
Hey,
I just
let me tell you Hot Pockets. When
I
you
want to ride a couch.
I haven't burnt the top of my mouth nearly enough.
Listen,
I want a Hot Pocket.
Listen, if I want to take a dangerous ride, I will sit in a Pax beanbag. I'm got it, but I am not. I want pizza rolls now, okay? You jerk.
Do you even have Hot Pockets in Britain?
No, because we're saying.
Good answer.
That may be the name of the show.
Jaffa Cakes,
yes, we do.
Jaffa Cakes are better.
Right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're done there.
And they're mine. I'm not sharing them with
you. Fine.
I mean, the Totino's thing, it's a neat idea, but I think they should have samples of pizza rolls. Seriously.
Like, if you manage to stay on that bucket couch for so long, you get, like, 8
pizza
rolls.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. I keep going. I'm hungry for lunch. But, you know, yeah.
But here's the thing about the pizza rolls being on the floor. You've seen what people are doing for like a code at what is it, the really loud one, Doom. When they have something going on, it's like, oh, we've got a code, and everyone's like, ah! Can you imagine what they would do for pizza rolls?
Murder. I'm not leaving this couch.
It would be still.
I mean, you know, it's a company that promotes food and yet doesn't
that's
have
true.
The food on the show floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like Pepsi getting on condoms.
I suspect there was a health and safety.
Yeah.
Pepsi flavored condoms.
Or worse yet,
did I say flavored condoms? I'm just saying in general.
So. Booth experiences that we enjoy, people.
Yes.
Okay, so I feel like the best overall experience I've had at a booth has to go to the guy, the people over at Isbrid Games. Now, Isbrid Games are an indie company, but all the games I played there, I was just blown away with. These are games that I've, you know, played in the past, but the more I play it, the more I hotly anticipate. There's a game there called Valhalla, which is basically a visual novel / bartender simulator. And the more that you mix the right drinks, the more you learn about the characters that come into your bar. Then you have a game called She Remembered Caterpillars, which is basically a it's a puzzle game where you have to get these different colored sort of creatures from one point to another, kind of like in the same sense as Ilo Milo. And there's this really sad story about a person with Alzheimer's and their child. And then you have Y2K, which is one of my hotly anticipated like RPG games right now. Very retro looking, and at the same time it has this really cool mechanic where they do like the turn base of doing the maneuvers, but then they have a whole musical element to it. So if you want to have a very powerful attack, oh, you gotta push, you gotta do like a sort of a quick time event with like this turntable and like get a bunch of good scratches in there. And every game that I played there at Isbrid Games just completely blew me away. So, and not to mention the peeps over there are super, super awesome. So I have to give it to Isbrid Games, not just because of the overall experience, but because I feel like Isbrid Games is going to be a very big indie game powerhouse, the same way as Devolver Digital is in the near future.
That's going to be great. I would love to see them take off like that. When you have a company that goes all out with their games and has that kind of support, they deserve to take off.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the longest time now, Telltale Games was a very small company.
Very tiny.
They were very tiny, and now they're doing a Batman game and a Marvel property, you know, and now they've come a long way.
Absolutely.
With their episodic stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that, you know, Isbrid was it?
Isbrid Games. Y-S-B-R-I-D. Isbrid Games. I would definitely say that Valhalla, which is the visual novel one, is going to be a huge underground sensation when that launches officially next month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not one for pronunciation in Boston. I can't ever say anything right. For long as I'm calling it, I was saying Faneuil Hall, and it's like, you mean Faneuil Hall? And I'm like, what the?
Faneuil.
I still can't say it right. But you know, you get the point. It's like I know where it is. It's awesome, but I forgot how to say it. You know. But as far as my favorite booth experience, Devolver really went all out with Shadow. And I was talking to them like the Shadow Warrior 2 thing. It was like, this is the first time
really
that we
pretty.
Made a booth. You know, they made the weapons. If you go, you can see they actually made the weapons. They said at E3 they're going to have somebody cosplay with those weapons and walk around the show floor and take pictures and all that stuff.
I can't wait to do.
Yeah,
well, you're
gonna
going, so
yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yes, we're going to go and we're going to party.
Yes.
But Shadow Warriors 2 booth was really nice. And the Lawbreakers booth, I was really surprised how big it was. Because it's like, I expected just like a small multiplayer thing. But no, they actually made like a huge presence with it and everything like that. It was crazy too.
Edie, how about you?
Well, it's hard for me because, well, the one booth that I have been in that I was impressed with also was the Devolver for Shadow Warrior. But another one that is easy to miss, but once again, they have presented their game as best as they possibly can with their booth,
Outlast 2.
That booth is really cool. And do you remember 2 years ago when they were here? And it was literally, it was like PVC pipes with black cloth.
Yeah.
And now you look at it and it's like, wow.
And like those individual chambers, so even though like you're going in, like you're in your own little personalized booth and
right.
It's all dark and
right.
You know, that sense of being connected to people completely drowns away. Like
right.
They really have a great tactic of isolation, which
mm-hmm.
obviously in that game is kind of its own character in its
right.
own right.
And it's an optimal experience to see that game.
Yeah.
Which I think is just so smart because many of these games are of these developers with their booths are essentially prettying up the booth to make it interesting. Like, you know, nothing against what Devolver did. It's a gorgeous booth.
Yeah, I know.
But Outlast 2's booth is optimized for the best experience that you can have in a very short period of time for a game that would normally take quite some time for you to get into the mood to truly appreciate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Were you seeing that game outside of that setting?
I don't think it would be nearly as impactful.
You would not, right. It wouldn't make an impact.
No.
And that's what they did in 2 years ago when they introduced Outlast before 1 when no one even heard about it. And they came and scared the crap out of everybody because they realized we need to put people in a dark room.
Yep.
So this is really a booth that is really geared toward the player playing the game, not just cosmetic.
The visual, the aesthetic.
Right, just the aesthetic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, hats off to them for thinking about that.
For me, I'm going to seem extraordinary because it's two booths, which is not fair for me to do that. I think
I make the rules, and yeah. It's completely fair.
I think the mere content, I'm driven by the content more than the paraphernalia.
Yeah, that's kind of why I chose Isbrick Games, because their whole overall experience was just phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think Alice Swim's games have been really, they touch a nerve with me personally. They seem to be like, here's games for Chris. I used to just say Chris O'Regan's booth.
Did you play Duck Game?
Sorry?
Did you play Duck Game at Adult Swim?
No, I didn't.
That game is a future esport.
Okay, I played Death Gambit.
But a really funny esport.
So, Death
Gambit was great.
Yeah.
That's a great
Death
game.
Gambit. Love it. Think Dark Souls and a side scroll.
Yeah, it's like Castlevania meets
this. I know, I love Castlevania.
I heard if you're really good at the game, you can beat it in 20 minutes, but because of how hard it is, it'll take you hours to do it.
So, what I'm going to say, maybe the shooter's been fanboys, and I'm trying not to be that way. But I'm going to say Sony's booth.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
that's actually pretty good. I mean, that's where I played like the Turtles game.
This is another good one.
Point. If you go there, you can go ping, 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 ping all the way around, and there's one excellent game after another, after another, after another, and it's row upon row. And it's just, I know, yes, it's Sony's booth, whatever, but it's still some awesome, awesome games. I mean, I played Grand Kingdom, which is.
Ooh, I've heard of great things about this one.
Actually,
the beta of that's going to be out in a couple weeks, I want to say.
Yeah, and I think it might actually be in my code.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of other games as well.
I feel like Sony has become quite the we're listening to the gamers type of company.
But then they're shutting down their MVP thing.
That's what has me concerned. Have you noticed that?
I've never been to an MVP.
Xbox had an amazing group of people, and then they fired all of them. You know, the Team Xbox, most of them, with the exception of Larry Herb, and then. They suffered for it because had those people been in place when the Xbox One would have come out, I think that it wouldn't have been as poorly received, and certainly they wouldn't have had their messages so garbled that everybody got nailed to the wall.
To the point they were lying.
To the point of where they were lying. They were horribly mistaken.
Yes.
And somebody would have actually said, you don't want to say that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And they suffered because they thought, well, we know what we're doing. We don't need those community people. They're just extra money, and they suffered for it. Sony is about to make that same mistake.
Yeah. And then not to mention the fact that the whole thing, if this whole 4.5 thing goes through and a better experience goes to those who will upgrade, they're basically making it into a PC, and they're shutting out the people that have a 4. And they'll still get the game experiences, but not the best game experiences. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that.
Right.
Look
and
what happened with the
32X.
Shit down the toilet.
Yeah.
So, I mean... In terms of booth, I do like the way Sony set up. I also like the way Microsoft set up that Quantum Break photo thing.
The
amazing.
Quantum Break photo is cool.
I mean, there's a
really
line
wish I'd
still,
taken it.
You know,
well, it wasn't. It wasn't an hour line.
You know, Gears 4, Mirror's Edge Catalyst still looks great, I think. I mean, the Xbox booth was pretty good, too. And
I kind of agree with that. I think the content is not the strongest.
Well, see, no, if there was any company that I felt was going to turn out this year, it was Nintendo, because their main focus is on a game that's already out, Star Fox Zero.
And the motion
controls piss me off in that game.
And not getting
turn
very
off
good
the
reviews,
motion controls.
My
bad. Well, it's the motion controls. I mean, what it is, the motion controls are automatically on, so I have to deal with analog stick and movement for targeting. It's a mess. Everything else about the game is nice. It looks fantastic. It's got inspired level design, but the controls.
There is surprisingly some good emphasis on the new Kirby game, which, by the way, actually looks really good.
The Kirby game does look good.
I played both the levels. I've played the regular one and then the robot one.
Yeah, but,
and I surprisingly had fun with it.
But you know what? Kirby. That's the thing. That should have been the focus.
Right.
Not the game.
That should have been the focus, and the other one that should have been focused on was...
Even that, you'd be like, I'm going to get the dragon! Like, you'd be fine.
The other one that should have been focused was the Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Oh.
That was fun. Well, it's basically Nintendo getting its own persona.
Where the two of you can go off on that.
Yeah, we're talking about PAX.
So we are talking about PAX. And
sorry.
For me, I would say that probably my favorite booth experience really was We Happy Few. I really enjoyed going through it.
That booth is awesome.
Such a nice show. Did you see all of the antique retro electronics all around?
Yes.
They said they actually asked him, I'm like, where did you get this stuff? He goes, we went to an electronics and vintage electronics store.
They do exist.
And we bought the whole store. We bought everything. We just essentially pointed and said, we want that and that and that and that. And it's all the retro television sets and radios and 8-track cassette players. And it's like, I want every single one of these.
And you know, like, you can bet those employees are keeping
my little
too.
Heart went pitter patter when I saw the 8-track because I was like, oh, I remember my dad had one! And I think that's part of the reason why I love the booth so much, because it really is an experience when you go in, and then you get to play the game as well. And it's set up really nicely, and everyone there is just so nice. And we had a great conversation.
I want to see kids go, or not kids, you know, like, but younger people go in that booth and look at an 8-track. What the fuck is this?
What did they do that with a cassette player?
Floppy disks.
Oh god, that was floppy disks.
Is this a coaster?
That I would say is definitely my favorite booth experience, and you know I'm gonna kick off non-favorite experiences as well, which for me I agree with you, Chris. Outside of the Quantum Break photo thing, I really wasn't that all impressed with Microsoft's.
No. The thing is, they don't. I think it's more about, you know, they want to focus more on the games and not so much a big structure.
But the Western Indies stuff is nothing there.
You know, like, I don't...
What was Cuphead? I know it's here, but...
It's at the Microsoft booth.
And here's Cuphead.
You see, here's the thing that I'm worried about. These two kind of pointed it out to me already, and it's the possibility. All they've been showing are boss battles, because there are parts of the game where you see that they aren't boss battles, but that's all they're showing. And I'm worried that...
That's all it is.
But that's still fine.
The art style is still...
I know, don't get me wrong. I like the Art Fleischer sort of 1930s art style.
Boss battles, but, you know, I don't need grandeur in a booth. I mean, you know, the We Happy... You know, I just want a really nice experience. And, you know, the We Happy Few booth isn't huge. It's just bigger than what it was last year, and they created a really nice experience. So when you go in, it's not just, hey, I'm at a kiosk, I play the game, and then I move on.
Yeah, like, you stop and you look around and you enjoy
exactly, there's stuff
Whereas
to
Microsoft,
take in.
Microsoft, you stop. Okay, I can see where you're coming from there.
You know, it's just... play the game, okay, move along. Play the game, move along. And I think, you know, if you're going to do that, then this really isn't a great venue for that. You should want to talk about your game. You should want to have people, if they come off a kiosk excited and wanting to learn more or even buy it, be able to do that and be happy to usher them to do that, as opposed to the, okay, your time is up because I've got other people in the line.
And
that, for me, just takes away from the whole experience.
You want to stay and you want to stay adults. You want to be entranced by a certain game. That's why these indie developers are so much fun. You're like, you want to try this out, have a seat, I'll walk you through it, that sort of thing, where it's Sony, but controller.
Evan?
I will have to agree with you about the whole Microsoft thing, because, you know, walking around, I just got this sort of kind of feel to it. I'm not saying it was a bad experience, but it just felt really uninspired.
Robert?
That Dottinus thing threw me off, I think. But I also wasn't crazy about Polaris. I don't know why they always seem to bring in these guests. They're trying to catch up to Twitch. They're not going to catch up to Twitch. I mean, Twitch has always had a fully packed booth. And by the way, kudos to Twitch for bringing in Old Spice, because I swear to God, half the people here could use that. You go to Skybridge, it's like a... Sound.
There was no funk on the floor, and I
Old
Spice.
Primarily
give it to Twitch for making it happen.
Kudos to Twitch also for a great party and all that stuff. But Polaris,
I want to know, they didn't invite us.
I'm sorry. I'll get you next. I got you last year. But no, I mean, like, Polaris, when I went by there, they had these kids, I guess they're rappers, or they're trying to be rappers, and they're rapping video game songs.
Are they 21 Pilots? No, I'm just
They were singing so badly that, like, people around at the other booth were getting headaches and everything. Like, Polaris
but here's the thing. So they might bring in some not such great, but they seem to have this really great partnership with Markiplier, and...
Markiplier's
great. People lost their shit. So, like, the minute the Markiplier even drops on the scene, you could put him in a trash can and people will sit there for hours and worship him like a god.
Yeah, I know. Markiplier's a good man, but I still don't like some things that they do with, like, guest selection, with the way that their booth is, doesn't... I mean, they're not going to be able to keep up with Twitch. It is great that they have Markiplier on board, but I think it was more they could have done with their booth. I think there's more way they could have gotten the community involved and everything like that, because it's so small, you pass by it and you forget about it. Whereas Twitch, you're hanging out for an hour seeing what they're doing with this panel or waiting to talk to this streamer or anything like that, and they're actually really happy to see you. Right. You know, they actually have a way of building up their community. Polaris needs to take a note from that, open up some more to the community, open up more, explain what they are. Because, like, half the time people just walk by and don't give a shit. Yep. And that's not the kind of exposure you want, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
You want them to be involved. You want them to stop by and talk to you. This is what Polaris is. We're not just Markiplier. But you take Markiplier out of the equation, Polaris who?
Like, oh, well, they host this thing, so, like, I'm going to watch because it's Markiplier. Yay.
Yeah, right?
That's exactly
what... You don't want to make it about... Sorry, you want to make it about the service. That's why Twitch is nailing it right now, because they have multiple people involved with them. Mm. You know, it is about how accessible they are. Polaris, what we got? Markiplier. These rapping guys and...
Fair point.
My least favorite booth is Square Enix.
It's kind of plain, wasn't it?
Yeah. A, it's plain, but B, it's got, they've got quite a few games there. Granted, there's actually quite a few, I should say, they don't have many games.
Nope.
They have a lot of consoles to play the Final Fantasy 15...
That challenge thing.
The challenge thing.
The
14 challenge.
Right, sorry, 14 challenge.
They have the Sephiroth challenge, and then they have a lot of consoles dedicated to the 15th demo.
Right.
And there are two canisters for I Am Setsuna, which is really, I think it's kind of the sleeper on that in their booth. It's quite a palate cleanser, mm-hmm. really, of a game. But they don't have a lot going on.
Yeah, they don't. It's not that they don't have a lot going on. It's the way that they've structured it. They could have actually put that so that it had a flow so that people that were coming in to see anything Final Fantasy would be led to these other games. And they're not. And it comes down to row spacing. They have the narrowest rows in the whole place.
God.
So as soon as someone is playing a game, like if you go to the Sony, that's why the Sony booth works. You're playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, which is tucked in between, not Quantum Break, what's the thing at the end? Well, there's Uncharted 4
yep.
at one, and Thief, and then,
you've got King of Fighters down there.
Right.
Yeah.
And Paragon is the other one. So they're kind of sandwiched between, and then they have all the little games in the center, but they're aisles are so wide that if somebody's playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or one of the other games in the center, you can kind of walk by and you can sit and watch that person and kind of get in line to see it. Square Enix's aisles are so small that if someone is playing, which I want to see was I Am Setsuna.
Yeah.
I saw I Am Setsuna. I'm like, that looks really interesting. But I can't stand in line for it because literally that person who's playing that game and the person behind them that is playing the Final Fantasy 15 demo, you can't get past them.
A lot of their lines are blurring into each other, too. Like,
congested. Yeah. Totally congested. And if they had added
yeah.
3 feet
well, like
on those aisles, they would have
line was blurring into the Star Ocean
yeah.
line. And I'm so glad I didn't get into Star Ocean because I would have lost my life because I get quite addicted to that type of stuff.
See,
yeah.
I think booth design really goes a long way. I mean, I think that's one thing I can actually say respectable about Xbox is that they actually did space their stuff out. But I'm taking a look at like other booth designs. Like my friends at Astro Gaming. They always have a great booth where you can just go and you can roam around and you can go with
their I love that I walk there and I'm like, I have that.
Astro
Gaming,
the
unofficial official headset of Electric Sisterhood.
It's yeah, there you go. I'm just saying, they have a great ergonomically designed booth.
What
whereas
did you buy?
You have a thing where, yeah.
Pizza Hut. Powered by Pizza Hut with no
even
pizza.
I'm not going to say that. Anyway, I'm just saying, you know, like, you really want a lot of thought to go into your booth design. You know, I mean, otherwise you're cramming into certain spaces here and there. I mean, that's why I didn't even bother Square Enix. Because, I mean, like, number one, the Sephiroth challenge is from an older game anyway. And number two, the way it's, like, set up, the line actually wraps around into the booth. So getting through that to get into the booth is a pain in the ass.
Which game were you talking about? I spaced out on you. Which booth are you talking about?
Square Enix.
Square Enix.
Yeah, Square Enix. The other one that has that same problem is, of all things, Crime Stoppers.
Lawbreakers.
Lawbreakers, thank you.
Crime Stoppers.
Lawbreakers. Crime Stoppers. Take a bite out of crime. No, I like the way that their booth looks when you pass by it.
It looks good, but it's the same thing.
Well, half of it's devoted to video monitors because they want people to watch it.
Right.
But, I mean,
and then they've got
the
big DJ booth that's elevated, so it looks like a big wall. And then this line, it literally snakes around. So you have, it's almost like tower defense game, real life. They have tower defended that game that you can't see or get anywhere near.
It's a fun game. It's just, I think the way they set it up, they wanted more people to watch than...
It's like, don't touch, we want you to watch it.
Well, that's silly. Stream it if you want people to watch it.
Yes.
Segway.
Yay!
Well done, sir.
Well done. I just mentioned it. That means it's not a segway. So,
it's okay. It's okay. I make the rules.
So, no one's really talked about it, although EE did as a beginning opening sort of salvo. MOBA, a particular booth I'm talking about, resonated on the show floor. And I only heard of this from second hand, so I can't vouch this is true. But League of Legends, Riot Games, apparently, on the way on the other side, they have this big installation.
They do. And huge installation.
And they have queues. Very long queues.
Oh, for the Rift Walk?
There it is.
Yeah.
4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. For friggin'.
And all you do is go into a room and take photos of yourself next to large statues.
I'm sorry. Four-hour wait?
League of Legends players are just this side of completely, utterly insane.
And they have... And they generally, the queue consists of children with their parents.
And they come and all those poor children.
And there's anecdotal stories of people travelling for thousands of miles to do this for the one day because you can only get past for one day.
Wow.
So, I want to get a lot to do with League of Legends pictures.
Meanwhile, I can't get five people to follow me around on the floor. No,
it's just mind-boggling how thoughtless it was to allow 10 people in at a time.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, years ago.
No, sorry. Like,
don't be sorry. I'm an asshole. No, years ago, when they had something on the show floor and they were throwing out cards or something like that, that's cool. That's fine. You know, go around and collect as many as you can. But waiting 4 to 5 hours to this, to that, no. You are taken away from the pack experience by doing that. It's just utterly ridiculous. There's so much to see on the show floor. They should have done something on the show floor and maybe had a side room for, like the BioWare base.
Yeah.
The BioWare base is a brilliant idea. And it's great to have, you know, like a little show within a show. And there's not like 4 or 5 hour wait. You go and you just see the stuff and you can talk to people. Exactly.
It's like a museum of sorts for BioWare.
It is, but it's really cool.
The more I think about this, we cannot encapsulate all of PAX in this discussion.
No.
You can't wait
at least in an 8-minute show.
I mean, imagine
we need to do a series of these to really.
It's extraordinary. And that's, if anything, if you've ever got any doubts, listeners, you need to.
And plus, you know, you really don't need to make it a lot of swag. I know people here, they get swag, they sell it online.
Wait, swag? What is this thing, swag? I got no swag. No,
I got swag.
I got swag.
I am swag.
Talk
but
to your boy. No, I mean, like some of the real experience is getting something cool when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, not going and collecting all this League of Legends shit just so you have anything. And
getting pins.
Pins are great.
They've been given them. That's good.
Yeah, I've got a little pin right here from the She Remembered Caterpillars game is my game.
Yeah, see, there you go. I mean, it's
nice little keepsake.
I love the fact that, you know, some people actually come here to, I don't know, enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Have fun.
That's what I do. I enjoy the show. I get past the drama, I get past the bullshit with the booths, you know, and I actually go and enjoy the games, you know, and I'm still torn with favorites. I still love Lawbreakers, but Overwatch, you know, and I'm just there.
Overwatch,
but I mean, it's just a matter of every time I come here, the experience is amazing. I mean, even with the bullshit and the beanbags, you know, whatever.
No more beanbag talk.
No more beanbag talk ever.
I'm halting.
That's the name of the episode.
Just, it's not even going to be remotely close to being the episode.
Okay, fine.
But,
I'll go back to talking about pooping a boot.
But I will say, as we're coming up on time here, that, you know, ultimately, the great thing about PAX is the experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say that this is probably the most enjoyable show that I've done as far as PAX goes in the last 3 years. Mm. You know, the people this year, just everybody seems to really be vibing on the experience and are having a good time. Like, you know, people weren't rude in lines. Like, every time I got bumped into on the floor, because there were a lot of people on the floor every single day, because we had beautiful weather this time in Boston.
Well, except yesterday was a little crappy.
Not as bad as last year.
Not as bad
like
as last year.
Like, the two-foot-high ice walls.
But it was gorgeous in that, like, if people bumped into people, they were like, oh, I'm so sorry, we'll let you through.
British, like,
It was almost like it was. There are people who would, like, not even enforcers.
Have this book set up Benny Hill. Here you go.
I'm trying to tell a story.
Sorry.
Be nice. It's
one of the things that was really nice for me is as I was trying to navigate the floor, and I'm of the shorter variety, right, there are many, many times where it's difficult for me to get around corners, and this guy made eye contact with me as I was halted up in a space trying to get through, make my way around the floor, and he pushed two people aside and said, can you please let this woman through? And I was like, Jesus Christ, faith restored in people.
It was like
Moses parting the Red Sea.
I can top you. So, yeah, we have to go through the Gestapo to get in here.
Right.
And I'm trying to make a panel, and I'm about 8 minutes behind time to get into the line to make it. But I managed to make it. And I have my bag. I put it on that table. I walk through. And all these, like, six people walk through, and none of them push my bag. So the guy who's looking at bags doesn't see my bag at the end of this table. And I'm like, if it doesn't come through, I'm not going to get in this line. And this lady sees it, and I'm, like, freaking out. And I can't be like, will you touch my bag? Like, I'm trying not to be the dick. And, like, she pushes my bag, and I'm like,
right.
And she's like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it's just
back to the old packs of where we were all grooving together. That before there was
the original East?
Right. Where everybody was happy and joyful to be together, and then we had to have Will Wheaton remind us to not
be
dicks.
I mean, there were.
And now all
of
a sudden we've kind of come full circle where we're at that.
It's taken 6 years, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like I said, we still run into instances where some people are less than that.
But that's
overall,
the people.
But they're
overall,
that's
overall,
not
right.
Overall
right.
though, I mean, like,
it's a joyful, it's a really joyful
yes.
year.
You know, yes. And there's something for everybody. I mean,
absolutely.
Even the,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, I feel sorry for the League of Legends who stand in like 4 or 5 hours. You know,
you
can do that. If it makes you happy, great, because
yeah.
we're missing on the experience.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people probably won't even go to like half the companies that Evan mentioned, and they should, you know?
Yeah.
They should check out all this.
I mean, I've seen way more as well, but it's just no freaking time.
Yeah. Because there's
just
so much to see.
You gotta do the best way. I mean,
they're getting so big. This floor is because they've added a day at.
Prague.
They're
yeah.
going
Prague.
To have to add a day next year.
Yeah.
If they're going to have it this big,
I'd
because
be
it just can't
I would be okay
reasonably
with that.
Yeah, I mean,
oh
that's
God,
the thing.
Thursday
we complained
to Sunday.
We complained about the longest time about PAX getting a fourth day. Yeah.
It
but
was
now
great.
It's really doing
it
really
was
long.
Wonderful
now,
last
now
year.
Now you
yeah.
can see the practicality
yeah.
of that.
It's really good.
With the show,
it takes the pressure off. It doesn't make it as frenzied.
Today's going to be.
Why is 3 the rule anyway? Why is like 3 the rule?
That's a general rule for Xbox.
Well, because I think originally Prime was 3 because it was during a 3-day.
But I'm just saying in general, too.
Right, 3-day weekend. Mm-hmm. So that Monday was a travel day.
Yeah, it's just a convention.
It was a, what was it, Memorial Day, Labor Day, the one, whichever one, Memorial Day, which is the one in September?
September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how, what Prime
That's
was
May.
Always. No,
yeah.
Memorial Day's in May?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a Labor Day.
We had thinking of Labor Day. Okay.
Labor Day.
So it was a Labor Day, and they was having it over Labor Day weekend. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday you could travel. And that's why they did it that way with the 3 days. But it's got to go to 4. It's got to go.
Yeah,
it will, I'm sure.
It's like, you know, like all good things that come to an end like this show.
And indeed.
Oh.
Thank you so much for the segue. I want to thank
He had that sitting in his pocket.
No, he's ready, and I appreciate that. Again.
He's riding on a segue to make that segue.
But I appreciate all of you joining us and sharing your loves and not so much loves of the show. Ultimately, I agree. This was just a really positive and fun year, and it feels very much like the original PAX, and I absolutely enjoyed myself. I highly recommend, if you have not attended a PAX and you're on the border of doing it, I hope this show helps you kind of be convinced that now is the time and to jump on board, because it really is a fun experience, and there is something for everyone. everyone. There's tabletop, there's competition, there's new things to experience, and a whole lot of new people to meet who are passionate about the same thing that you are. So make sure that you do that. I'm going to go around the table and let everybody talk about where you can find their content online. I hope that you check it out, and then we will end as always.
Am I getting an award?
Maybe.
At PAX?
Maybe.
Oh my god.
Well, let's start with you, Chris. Where can people hear you, find you, read you, engage with you, and whatnot?
I primarily write at spong.com. That's spong.com. And I have do a lot of previews there, a lot of features, and I also have a podcast called The Sausage Factory. It's been nominated for 2 awards.
Yay!
Where I interview video game developers about them and their games. And we've reached 95 episodes, so 100 is approaching, which means it's a fabulous podcast.
Woohoo! It's real. It's really real.
It's not real yet until it reaches 100. It's real.
Okay, Game Hounds can be found. We record once a week on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, live. You can listen to us on Spreaker. That's speaker with an R, spreaker.com. You can join us in the chat room and listen to it us live. But if you can't do that, thank you. It's our chat room is so much fun. And it's really great to join us and listen live. But if you can't, you have. But if you can't listen to us live at that time, that's fine. You can listen to us after the fact by going to Spreaker.com. You can listen to us on demand, or you can check it out through iTunes at Game Hounds Live, not the other Game Hounds, that's our old feed, or on iHeartRadio under Game Hounds. So you can check us out at any of those places. And then we also have our website, GameHounds.net, but it's kind of dead. You're better off going to our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/TheGameHounds. And we update with news. We have curated news all through the week. So if you want to find out what's happening and what's important in the industry, the biggest news, like our Facebook page, and you will get it uploaded to your own Facebook page and stay on top of video game news all week long.
Giggity.
What?
Well, it's perfect way to end that. That's a segue.
Giggity.
All right. Well, I'm the most of the segues.
Not take your job. I'm sorry. You can find me at twitter.com/TheDCD. Facebook, I'm over at Robert Workman. As far as where I'm working, I do stuff for alistdaily.com, primagames.com. They had me back, I guess. Also, opshead.com, which is a new Call of Duty site where we're covering everything Call of Duty, everything shooters. It's going to be a lot of fun to work there. And I'm also doing MarinersRock.com. There'll be reviews there as well. And you can also find me doing the ARGcast, another retro gaming podcast with my buddy David Gilson. We just started it up. We just finished our special PAX East episode, which will be up this week. And you guys are welcome to stop by if you want. Please stop by, talk games with us and everything like that. EDU2 Giggity. And
what does that mean? U2 Giggity?
U2 Giggity. Okay, look, I'm trying to be nice to you.
Giggity.
All right, so yeah, you can check that out. It is part of the RetroZap Network at RetroZap.com. So, yes, please, give us a listen. We're on iTunes. We're everywhere that we try to be. Not A-Track, though. We're trying to get on A-Track.
That would be bomb.
That would be
totally Evan.
Bomb. All right. So, for all things Boston Bash Brigade, you can go on to www.b3crew.com. Every Tuesday, you can check out No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot, where we also talk about gaming, anime, and various other geek stuff. You can find me on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Anime Amino at kingbabyduckesh. I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. That is omnistryinc. You can like me on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade. And you know what? Let's give a bit of a shout out to all the other people under the Land of Esh, which also includes Smash Rook, Phil's Recap and Review, and Nerd Crave.
All right, so I've been doing half of my job.
I know.
Panda, why don't you take us out for once?
Nah.
Lazy ass. All right, so you can find our podcast all over the place. You can find it on our website, electricsisterhood.com, which you can also get our news now live in the Apple News app. Woo-hoo! So just search for Electric Sisterhood and subscribe. You can get the podcast. You can get the podcast in iTunes on your desktop or in the iOS app by searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. We are also on Stitcher Radio. We are also at VogNetwork.com. We are also in Google Play. We are also in pretty
your
much...
Mom.
No! Bad wrong! Bad wrong,
we're
Panda!
On your beanbag.
Hit us up at Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. Make sure that you like us so that you get our content that we put out. We just launched Instagram, so you can find us at Instagram.com/ESH News.
Aggressively eating a hot dog.
You can see all the stuff that we're playing and events that we're going to. Definitely follow us and engage with us on Twitter. Ask us questions at ESH News. And now is the time on the podcast show where I normally give Pandalicious an award for showing up and doing her job. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to give all of you guys an award for hanging with us and enjoying our podcast. Part of the team this year.
Let me tell you something. The big draw this year was the PAXmania show, but as fun as that show may be, I would rather sit around and talk with you
absolutely
guys.
Absolutely.
Oh, shit.
Gosh. I would watch if I were two shades lighter.
Oh, this is my favorite booth on the Citadel.
Yeah. Look at all the rooms. Look at this.
Yes, it's
oh
nice.
Oh, my God. I'm about to tear up. I can't even.
I can only nod right now.
You know why? You know why this is fun? It's because we're all friends. Yeah. We have... the same passion.
No,
if we all lived in the same town, we would all hang out together.
Absolutely.
I.e. drink on Thursday night.
Yeah. Why do you think
and
I love...
And so, as I said, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out this week, guys.
Dropping the mic on PAX 2016.
And remember, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
And yeah. Don't touch the beanbags.
By the way, that's all getting cut out. You're way over.